Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhuji on call. Prabhuji, on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, chapter 24, verse 21 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for joining the call, Prabhuji. Dhanvad Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you for giving you a very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic, Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for awarding me this service to all the devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavatu Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 21. Nilaraktotpalam bhoja kalarendi varakaram hamsasarasa chakrava karandava nikujitam. Nila, blue. Rakta, red. Utpala, lotus. Ambahja, born from the water. Kalara, another kind of lotus. Indivara, another kind of lotus. Akaram, the mine. Hamsa, swans. Sarasa, cranes. Chakrava, birds. Karandava birds. Nikujitam, vibrated by their sounds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In that great lake, there were different types of lotus flowers. Some were bluish, and some of them were red. Some of them grew at night, some in the day, and some, like the Indivara lotus flower, in the evening. Combined together, the lotus flower filled the lake so full that the lake appeared to be a great mine of such flowers. Consequently, on the shores, there were swans and cranes, chakravas, karandavas, and other beautiful water birds standing about. Purport. The word akaram, mine, is significant in this verse, for the reservoir of water appeared like a mine from which different types of lotus flowers were produced. Some of the lotus flowers grew during the day, some at night, and some in the evening. And accordingly, they had different names and different colors. All these flowers were present on that lake. And because the lake was so calm and quiet and filled with lotus flowers, superior birds like swans, chakravakas, and karandavas stood on the shores and vibrated their different songs, making the entire scene attractive and beautiful. As there are different types of human beings, according to the association of the three qualities of material nature, there are similarly different types of birds, bees, trees, etc. Everything is divided according to the three qualities of material nature. Birds like swans and cranes, who enjoy clear waters and lotus flowers, are different from crows, who enjoy filthy places. Similarly, there are persons who are controlled by the mode of ignorance and passion, and those who are controlled by the mode of goodness. The creation is so variegated, so varied, that there are always varieties found in every society. Thus, on the bank of this lake, all the superior birds lived to enjoy that atmosphere created by that great reservoir filled with lotus flowers. Oma jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse today, we see that the lake is described with different types of lotus flowers. There are blue lotuses, there are red lotuses, some are growing in the night, some in the day, some in the evening, like the Indivara lotus flowers. And the entire lotus flower appeared to be like a mine of great flowers. But the lake was very, although it was full with flowers, was very calm. And because of that, swans and cranes and all these other beautiful water birds were standing about. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the creation is so varied that there are always varieties found. And that is the nature of the material world, that it has so much variety, full of three modes of material nature, endless combinations of the modes of material nature. But the pleasure that it gives is very limited. The modes of material nature, the pleasure it gives is very limited. That's the nature of material life. Puna puna charvita charvananam. We keep chewing the chewed. Just like a sugar cane, we keep chewing, chewing, chewing. The whole juice has come out, but we are still chewing the chewed, or chewing a chewing gum. After some time, all the juice of the chewing gum is gone, but we still keep chewing for some reason. And that's the nature of pleasure of the three modes of material nature. The quality of pleasure is the same in each of these three modes. But the source of the immediate source of those pleasures may be different. So we think, oh, this material world is so full of varieties. Whereas spiritual life, if you see, every day we have to chant the same mantra, no variety. We have to have darshan of the same deity, no variety. He's always standing in the Tribhanga Lalita pose. Radharani will always be standing. The deities are always standing in the same pose. Every day, Mangal Arati, same kirtan from the beginning. Everything, same routine. And then we feel, oh, there is no variety. It's all so dry. Every day, same, same, same. But those who are sincere and are actually meditating on these prayers, on the holy names of the Lord with love and with gratitude and with desperate dependence on the Lord, they see, even though the mantra is the same, even though the deity is the same, even though the prayers are the same, but the pleasure that we get from within, the internal fulfillment that we get is variegated, is different. In spiritual life, externally, things look without any variety. But internally, there is so much varieties of pleasure. In the material world, everything looks so variegated, but the quality of pleasure inside is just the same. It's frustrating because it can never satisfy the soul. So here, it's explained how, just like there's so much variety on the lake, similarly, there is variety enjoyed by three modes of nature. Crows are attracted to the mode of ignorance. Wherever things are dirty and filthy, crows go there and they enjoy, they relish the pleasure there. But Srila Prabhupada says, because of the surrounding of the lake, birds like swans and cranes who like to enjoy in the mode of goodness and transcendence, they were residing there. That's why our acharyas are called Paramhamsa. Jayom Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotarashat Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is the Premadhvani that we give every day and every moment. Why? Jayom Vishnupad Paramhamsa. Why Paramhamsa? Because they are the greatest of swans. Swans have a very, very special quality. And that quality is that they can discern milk from water. If you give them water filled with milk, they will drink in such a way, they have that technology within them that they will just drink milk and leave the water. And therefore the acharyas are called Paramhamsa, the supreme swan, who can even from the material realm, they can extract spiritual truths, spiritual essence. In every situation in life, they teach us, the Paramhamsas, they teach us how to understand Krishna's hand in that situation. How to understand the spiritual essence in that situation. The situation may be political, the situation may be something which is personally affecting us due to our karma, due to our offenses, due to something good that we are doing, whatever. Whether good situation we are going through or bad situation. What is the spiritual learning that I can get from this? The Paramhamsa Acharyas, they explain that. And one such Acharya is His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Sri Srila Prabhupada, whose appearance day we celebrated yesterday. So we thought, when we are talking about swans, it's appropriate in this verse to take this opportunity to glorify Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by glorifying such acharyas on their appearance days or any time, remembering them, we actually beg for their mercy. In glorification, the mood of our glorification is, we are really not qualified, neither deserve to glorify such a great soul. But for our purification, we are making a very humble, feeble attempt just so that they could be pleased. And even though we don't deserve it, out of their compassion and greatness, seeing this small effort, they may feel the compassion to give us their mercy, so that we can develop a relationship with Krishna. We can revive our relationship with Krishna. So with this prayer and with this goal for the pleasure of the devotees, Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada, we'd like to speak about the glories of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who appeared in 1874 in Jagannath Puri, exactly 400 years after Lord Nityananda appeared. Lord Nityananda appeared in 1474, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in 1874. But before that, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the Acharya at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the father of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he was the Acharya there. He prayed in the mood of Advaita Acharya, just like Advaita Acharya was an Acharya before Lord Chaitanya appeared. He was the leader of the Vaishnavas, but he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "Please, I cannot do this alone. I need your help. Please come and deliver this world." In the same way, in the same mood, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was writing so many books. He was preaching by his example. He was preaching by his words. He was the magistrate. He had an impeccable schedule just to please the Lord and spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He even sent a book on the life of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world in Canada. But he felt he needs help. So he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "Please, please send me some help. Please send me a ray of Vishnu." And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 10 children in 1874. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in Jagannath Puri in the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati came out of the womb, the umbilical cord that is connected to the mother was wrapped around Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the shape of a Brahman thread, which is very, very auspicious. He was born a Brahmana in that sense. The astrologer said, "This is a Mahapurusha. He is a great person." One day when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was 6 months old, there was Rath Yatra ceremony going on in Jagannath Puri. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house was were very close to Jagannath Temple. It was on the same road of where the Rath Yatra used to go. And the Rath cart, when it passed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, it stopped. And when it stopped, thousands and thousands of people were trying to pull and pull. And very, very able men tried to pull, but it wouldn't budge an inch. Seeing an opportunity, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mother brought the six-month-old child in front of Lord Jagannath's cart. And the Pandas allowed her to climb up, and the child reached out to touch Lord Jagannath. And as soon as he tried to touch Lord Jagannath, a garland fell spontaneously, automatically, on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Seeing this, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirmed, "This is a very special boy. He is the ray of Vishnu that I had prayed for." So then, after some time, this boy was named as Bimala Prasad. And it's very interesting why he was named Bimala Prasad. Because in Jagannath Temple, if you have gone to Jagannath Temple, you'll see that there is a deity of Bimala Devi. And first, the prasad is offered to Bimala Devi. And then Bimala Devi's prasad is then offered to everyone else. So Bimala Prasad is nothing but the mercy, the Prasad of Lord Jagannath, which is first given to Bimala Devi. And therefore his name was Bimala Prasad. Then when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was 7 years old, he was able to memorize every single shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Just 7 years old. And he would give Bhagavatam discourses. He would read only the books of either Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Narottam Das Thakur. That's all. He would not read any other books. He would want to surcharge his consciousness just by the books, by the message of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. Still, he would top in his class every time. He was known as Shrutidhar because Shrutidhar is one who hears once and can remember immediately just by hearing once. So he would hear in the class, he was so attentive. And then when he would come home, he would hear Bhagavatam from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur or different sadhus who would come to their house. This 7-year-old boy, he would hear so attentively, absorbed in rapt attention. 7-year-old boys or girls, nowadays, if we ask them to sit in the temple, it's very difficult. They're restless. They can hear, but only for some time. Most of the devotees, most of the children we see, they want to go out, and then we have to have some engagement for them so we can engage them in some Krishna conscious activity. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would sit in rapt attention, hearing the message of Lord Chaitanya. Then when he grew up to 13 years old, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him a Tulsi Japamala that they got from Jagannath Puri. And from 13 years old, he started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra very regularly on beads, on Tulsi Mala. He would worship Kurmadev for stability. And he would worship Narsingadev for protection from all dangers of Maya. So from 13 years old, he was doing all his bhakti activities, deity worship, japa, hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in the holy place of Jagannath Puri, associating with devotees, everything, all the limbs of devotional service he was performing. When he was 16 years old, in his school, he started a club, and he was very good in English, and he named the club the August Assembly. The August Assembly means the assembly of great people. You know, sometimes we say there's an English phrase in the British era, may I have the fortune of your August Assembly? Meaning, can I sit with you? But this is how they would express it. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the August Assembly. And the only rule was, if you want to join this club, you can. Anyone, it's open to everyone. But there are some rules of this fraternity, of this club. And the rules are that we only speak about bhakti and nothing else in this club, while we are associating in this club, and even outside. And you have to have a vow of celibacy. And several members join. But in due course, only Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was able to follow the vow of celibacy. And he was the only true member of the August Assembly. And everyone else, you know, left and got married. He got admission into the Sanskrit College of Calcutta. He was a genius in mathematics, in astrology, in astronomy. In fact, he even wrote his treatise, his book, called Surya Siddhanta. And because of this Surya Siddhanta that he wrote, it was about astronomy, astrology, and mathematical calculations of all of that. It was so precise that since then he was given the title Siddhanta Saraswati. Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge, so he's blessed by the goddess of knowledge, and Siddhanta because he wrote Surya Siddhanta. The literal meaning of Siddhanta is Siddha Anta, the end of all perfections. So he was already known as Siddhanta Saraswati. Later, when he took sannyas, he was given the name Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But even before, when he was just 16 years old, when he wrote his Surya Siddhanta, he was called Siddhanta Saraswati. Now, even though he was brilliant, genius in his studies, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur chose not to complete his degree. He did not finish his college. He did not take his degree or complete it. He was a school dropout in one sense. But he did this deliberately because he felt that if he has high education, then he would be pressured into marriage because everyone would come, hey, oh wow, this is such a genius person. He has such degrees and because of those degrees, he has such high position in society. So will you please marry my girl and my daughter and things like that. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had decided, this whole life I want to just dedicate to service of Lord Sri Krishna, and therefore I would not marry. And he didn't even want to take a risk of being proposed. So he did not finish his degree. No degree, no material position, no job. You know, hardly anyone would be interested in with their daughters. He was never concerned with Lab Puja Pratishtha, with profit, adoration, and distinction. Because he read in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words, Tomar Pratishtha Shukare Ravishtha. He said that a Vaishnava thinks that the prestige is like Shukare Ravishtha, which means pig's stool. Now, it's very indicative. A pig's stool. A pig is someone who eats other stools. The stool of the person who eats other stool is what is considered to be our own reputation and prestige by the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava thinks, if someone is glorifying me, it's like they are feeding me Shukare Ravishtha. So they tolerate great Vaishnavas. When they hear their praise, they tolerate their praise because it's so demeaning to them. It reminds them that they are the enjoyer, and they understand that actually all this praise belongs to Krishna. It doesn't belong to me. So they change their consciousness. They accept the praise and immediately pass it on to their guru. If we just accept the praise and keep it with ourselves, that praise turns into pig stew, Shukare Ravishtha. But if we pass it on, it becomes a garland, which is then offered to Sri Krishna. And then our guru passes to his guru, and in this way, it goes all the way to Krishna. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did not want to complete his education. There were so many different pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that is the reason Srila Prabhupada accepted him as his spiritual master. That is the reason Srila Prabhupada was so attracted to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this order to our Srila Prabhupada to go out and spread this message of Lord Chaitanya, we are sitting here today listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only because of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One day Srila Jagannath Das Babaji came to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would consider Jagannath Das Babaji as his Shiksha Guru. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, at that time, he came from Vrindavan, he came to Navadvip. And he's the one who actually gave the symptom to the signal to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur the confirmation of what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw as the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was standing on his balcony, and there he saw something glowing across the banks of Ganges on the other side. And he felt, this is a vision. This must be the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Because the birthplace over 500 years, 400 years by then, was washed away by Ganges, and then Ganges receded, and then it was revealed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to confirm this. So he took Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj in a basket, and then he, as soon as Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was almost an invalid, more than 100 years old, he would not even able to open his eyelids. He immediately, his eyelids opened, and he jumped out of the basket and started jumping and dancing, which was a confirmation that this place is empowered by the Shakti of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the birthplace of Srila Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jagannath Das Babaji was here. He gave a confirmation, and he asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to prepare a Vaishnava calendar. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, with his knowledge of astronomy and astrology, he then created this first Vaishnava calendar that was instituted. And today, whatever Vaishnava calendar we go by is all based on the instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was instructed by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. After a few years, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited to a conference. It was a very, very important conference. It was arranged by the Brahmanas, and these Brahmanas, they were propagating that in order to become a Brahmana, you have to be a fortunate soul. After you perform so many pious activities in your lifetimes, then you get the birth of a Brahmana. And they were propagating the caste system, that Brahmanas are the best. And in that way, the only thing they wanted was to just get money. Oh, you are sinful. We are Brahmanas, you are sinful. If you want to get rid of your sins, pay us money, we'll perform some puja, and you'll get rid of your sins. They were just using the spirituality as a way of earning their livelihood and earning their money. It wasn't for patan patan yajan yajan. Brahmana, his activities is to learn, is to hear and read and distribute. Patan patan yajan yajan, perform yajna ourselves and then share it with the world. But these Brahmanas, they were saying, no, Brahmanas are even higher than the Vaishnavas. If you are a Shudra, whether you are chanting the holy names, whether you are whatever else you are doing, it doesn't matter. Are you a Brahmana? You are not a Brahmana? Disqualified. You cannot talk about scriptures. You cannot be taken seriously. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his confirmations were that Shyamananda Pandit is one of our acharyas. He's a great acharya. He's a pure devotee. He was not a Brahmana. But his disciple, Rasikananda Prabhu, was a Brahmana of the highest caste. But he took initiation from Shyamananda Prabhu, who is not a Brahmana. That means these exalted Brahmanas like Rasikananda Prabhu understood a Vaishnava is beyond the Varnashram system, beyond the caste system. Narottam Das Thakur was not a high-class Brahmana, but Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, he was the Chakravarti of Brahmanas. He took initiation from Narottam Das Thakur. So his understanding was, yes, Brahmanas are to be respected, but a Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmana. And the leader of the Radharaman temple, Madhusudan Goswami, they were depending on Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come to this conference and present the Vaishnava point of view and defeat these Brahmanas and defeat the caste system. The way the caste system was implemented based on just birth but not quality. Chaturvarnya Maya Srishtam. Guna Karma Vibhavasha, which means this caste system, Chaturvarna, these four Varnas, is created by me, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But it's based on guna and karma, one's qualities and one's activities, not by janma, not by birth. And so he wanted all of these, Shamananda Goswami Sampradaya from Orissa, they wanted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come and defeat these misconceptions and establish the true conception of the Varnashram system as per Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur got sick and he could not go to the conference. And he felt, who else can go to this conference and relay the whole essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya in a way that it respectfully defeats the Brahmanas. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur volunteered. Just a young boy, he volunteered, I will go. So then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, okay, you can go. And he went there and he started telling about scriptures. From scriptural, he heard from the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas were saying the same old thing. And then when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was supposed to say, he came up and he defeated all the misconceptions based on Shastra. He said, Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. How come Krishna is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, go and give this upadesh to everyone? Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra keve noy. Jai Krishna tattva veta shai guru hoy. Who is guru? One who understands Krishna tattva. Not whether, it doesn't matter. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi. Doesn't matter whether he's a brahmana. Doesn't matter whether he's a sannyasi or not. Shudra keve noy. Doesn't matter if he's a shudra. All that matters is, does he know Krishna Tattva? And then there were 3 days of debate, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur completely smashed the misconceptions that were created by the Brahmanas. And he challenged, he first started by glorifying the Brahmanas. When he started his speech, he started glorifying the Brahmanas. And half of his speech was just glorifying Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas were like, wow, this person, he is telling things that we want to hear. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started describing about all the scriptures, how a Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmana. And in this way, the entire public who had come there was completely convinced of the conclusions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the police at that time was very, very much afraid, because everyone was coming to the stage, jumping to the stage to get the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so the police came, they stopped the crowd, and they said, okay, we will give you, everyone will get the dust of the lotus feet. And they told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is a bucket of water, can you please put your lotus feet on this in this bucket of water? And then they went and they started distributing this bucket, this water, throwing it on all the public. And everyone was so satisfied. This was the glory of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One day, a disciple, a grand disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji, his name was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. He was actually the disciple of Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj, who was a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, in that sense, was a grand disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. When he came from Vrindavan. He was wearing a tiger skin hat. He had some basket of prasad, which he was giving, the Vrindavan prasad. And when he came to meet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he became so compassionate to him. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj gave his skin, tiger skin hat to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a gift. He gave some prasad. He put some tilak stamp of Krishna's holy name, like when we go to Vrindavan, now they put Radhe Radhe stamp. Something like that, he put a stamp on Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of Krishna's name, and he gave Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur a rope. That rope had 108 knots. This was the Japamala of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, which he gifted to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur just out of love and just out of compassion. There was no tulsi beads, there was no nothing. It was just a rope which had 108 knots, and that's how he would chant. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he inspired Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you should take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also attracted to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's love and his devotion and his simplicity. So he begged Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he begged to him, can you please accept me as your disciple? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, I'm an illiterate. You are such a scholar. I don't even know how to read and write. You have such books, great books you have written. How can I be your guru? So I have never given anyone any initiation, nor do I intend to give any initiation to anyone. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went back to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, no, persist. Go back again. Ask again. So he went again to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and said, please, I beg you, please initiate me. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, okay, I will ask Lord Chaitanya. I will ask Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then get back to you. So after a few days, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur again came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Did you get an opportunity to speak to Lord Chaitanya? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, yes, I spoke to him. Oh, you spoke to him. So what did he say? What did he say about the initiation? He said, oh, about initiation. I spoke to Lord Chaitanya, but I forgot to ask about your initiation. He said, oh, can you please ask him next time? And so Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, okay, we'll see. The next time, he again came, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, did you ask Lord Chaitanya about my initiation? Said, yes, this time I asked. What did he say? Lord Chaitanya said, I don't have to give you any initiation. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart sank in disappointment. And he became so, he said, I'm so unqualified. I have no qualification to even get the mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to distribute his mercy to the most fallen. And the mercy is coming from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But I am so fallen that I do not even deserve this kind of mercy. What is the use of this human form of life if we are not yearning for this mercy, if we don't get this mercy? It's better that I commit suicide. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to commit suicide in the river Saraswati. Seeing this eagerness, just like Arjuna was so eager, so desperate, so much dependent on Krishna. It was a life and death situation from him. That's when Lord Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita's instruction to Arjuna. Maharaj Parikshit, he was in this desperate situation, this eagerness, desperate eagerness to receive that mercy, to hear this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam from Maharaj, from Shukadeva Goswami. That's when Srimad Bhagavatam was manifested. Similarly, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj saw the same desperate eagerness for receiving the mercy through Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj to get initiation. And he said, I will initiate you. Looking at seeing your eagerness, I will initiate you. Go and take a bath in the Ganges, in River Saraswati, and come back. And he came back and he initiated him and gave him the name Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So this is how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur got his initiation. And then in 1905, when he was just about 31 years old, he took a vow. He took a vow that was very rare. He took a vow of chanting 1 billion rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. 1 billion rounds. Now if you see, which means that he would chant every day 300,000 names, which means 1 billion names of Krishna, which means 300,000 names every day he would chant, which is 192 rounds. Just like Haridas Thakur, 192 rounds every day he would chant. And he did that for 9 years to complete 1 billion names of Krishna. So in this way, he sat at Yogapit, which is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For 4 years, he sat there and just chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. 192 rounds every day. He would sleep on the ground. He would cook khichdi. And after cooking, he would eat like a cow. Like a cow means he would tie his hands behind his back and then bend down and put his mouth on the khichdi. And then whatever he could eat before pulling his mouth up for air, that's all he would eat for the day. Just like a cow, they just keep eating, and then they take their mouth up. Similarly, if once you stop eating, that's it. And then when it would rain, he would just go take an umbrella on top of him and continue chanting his rounds. This is the taste that he had for the Hare Krishna mantra. And then for 4 years he was in Yogapit. Then someone donated some land near Chandrasekhar Bhavan and Chandrasekhar Acharya's home. And he sat there for another 5 years. 9 years, 300,000 names every day, 192 rounds every day, 1 billion names. I did a calculation, and it does come to close to 1 billion, close to 900,000, 900 million. But yeah, if you take a few here and there, it's 1 billion names of 300,000 every day. So in this way, he was very, very, he would actually say, one of his instructions that I was reading is he would say, don't chant from your lips, chant from your heart. And that's a very deep instruction, because this is very similar to how Srila Prabhupada said, where is the question of mind? Devotees asked him, Prabhupada, how do I focus my mind on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? Srila Prabhupada said, well, you chant the mantra, you hear it, where is the question of mind? And it's sometimes intriguing. I mean, the whole point is to engage our mind in hearing the mantra. So how can you say there is, where's the question of mind? Of course, it's all about the mind. But what Srila Prabhupada is saying is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is saying. Don't chant with your mind. Chant with your heart. Because in our mind is a repository of thoughts. While chanting, don't think about chanting. Pray from your heart. Don't think, feel. We think from our mind, we feel from our heart. And so the whole idea is that when we are chanting, before we chant, therefore Srila Prabhupada said, we should do the Mangalacharan prayers, pray to Tulsi Maharani, pray to Narsingadev, then pray to the Vaishnavas, and then chant. Because then we are bringing out those feelings of dependence on Krishna, those feelings of gratitude, of being of gratefulness, those feelings while we are chanting the Mangalacharan prayers, Narsingha prayers, we are praying with dependence, we are praying with those feelings of helpless dependence, with those feelings that I do not deserve. I'm such a sinful person. I've done so many offenses. I do not deserve your mercy, but I have no other course. I beg for your mercy, please. Mercy means something that I do not deserve, but I beg for it, just like a beggar. Those are the feelings with which we should chant. Not just the thoughts of while chanting, oh, let me think of this and let me think of the holy. No, if we pray, prayer is a feeling. So we should distinguish between our thoughts versus our feelings. We should keep our mind and intelligence away. We should just pray with our heart. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, chant with your heart, not with your lips. I was seeing that it's so important that we have this, we cultivate this mood of a beggar before we start chanting. Many times we just pick up our bead bag and just start chanting and then hope that somehow things will fall in place. But we have to condition our mind first to get into this mood so that we really feel these emotions of gratefulness, of these emotions of that I do not deserve. When I feel that I really am not worthy of this, of even chanting the holy names, thinking, what have I done? I have rejected Krishna. I turned my back on Krishna and I came. Now I'm saying I want to go back. Think of from where we are coming from. And I think that just by chanting, Krishna will accept me. If I don't chant in the proper mood of begging, Krishna, I've made a mistake. I turned my back on you. I want to come back to you. Please accept me. Please. With those begging prayers, I do not even deserve to be accepted. I have not done anything that I should be accepted by you. But because my Guru Maharaj, he is your pure devotee. He is, because of his mercy, I am even able to beg and come to you and gather the strength to beg you to please accept me back. And then Krishna will test. But we continue our chanting, we continue our prayers, we continue our feelings of while chanting. So don't chant with mind, chant with the heart. Just focus on that particular holy name that we are chanting. Hare Krishna. At that time we are just focusing on Hare when we are chanting Hare. When we are chanting Krishna, just focus on Krishna. Let's not try to chant all the rounds at once. That's what our mind and intelligence start doing. The mind thinks, oh, I have to chant all these 16 rounds? Oh my God, and intelligence starts coming into play. Yeah, you can bifurcate it, you can finish it in this many minutes and then this much time you have. And while chanting, we are just planning, that's all. Forget your intelligence, forget your mind. Feel. When we are absorbed in feelings of gratitude and utter dependence on Krishna and understanding the position that we are in, then we will be able to chant and follow Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction. Anyway, then there was also another debate that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted, where many of the devotees, many of the brahmanas were saying that Gaura Gayatri, when Vaishnavas, we chant Gayatri, there are two Gaura Gayatris. And the brahmanas were saying these Gaura Gayatris are not bona fide because these Gayatris glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they don't believe that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a great devotee. He's a very great sannyasi, but he's not a Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what was being propagated by the brahmanas. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Simha Guru, that's why he was called the Simha Guru, because he would just smash the misconceptions in people's minds. And so he rose up and he arranged a conference and debates where he proved from various scriptures how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar, how he is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, how he is mentioned in Vishnu Sahasranam, so many different ways. And unknown to everyone in the assembly of this debate and the corner was standing the guru of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was standing there and was admiring the scholarship, the devotion of his disciple. When he was establishing Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the modern world. And after the debate was complete and everyone was convinced, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj started addressing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as Prabhu. He would call his own disciple Prabhu. And from there on, this legacy of calling each other Prabhu started. That even however big senior a devotee is, he calls everyone else as Prabhu. In 1914, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur disappeared in Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta, and in 1915, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappeared in Kulia Gram, which is near Navadvip. And when he disappeared from this world, he was so famous, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, even though he never wanted to be famous. He would sit and chant in places where people would not even want to go. But still, because of his purity, all the Babajis in Navadvip wanted the honor of making Samadhi for him. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and he said, no one can touch the body of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And the police and all the police and everyone, they were worried that it'll cause a commotion because so many Babajis and devotees wanted to touch Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that anyone who has not engaged in any illicit activity for 1 year, you can come and touch. And no one came. He said, okay, in 1 month, in 1 week, if you have not done any illicit activity, you can come and touch him. And no one came. And the police said, should we investigate if someone comes? He said, no, no need. I'll take their word for it. Then he said, anyone who has not touched a woman for 3 days, you can come and touch Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's body and make a samadhi for him. No one came. Everyone turned and left. And then they started demanding, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when he was alive, he said, when I leave my body should be dragged on the streets of Navadvip so that my body can get the dust of the Navadvip palm. So we should follow his instruction and drag his body through the dust of Navadvip. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, No one can dare to do such a thing. Yes, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said this out of his own humility. So we'll follow the essence of that and offer some dust to him. But no, I will not allow anyone to drag my spiritual master's body through the streets. So he made a nice samadhi for Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj in Kulia. And 16 years later, of course, he had to move the samadhi to Navadvip Dham, where it is now currently, near Yogapit. And then he, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, started preaching in Calcutta. And we know how our Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Ulta Danga Junction Road, in the building which is now acquired by ISKCON, and how that's on the terrace. This instruction was given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, to go to the Western world and preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language. And this was the first time when Srila Prabhupada attended this Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's program. In fact, it is said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this instruction to many devotees and many disciples. But Srila Prabhupada was the one who took it to heart. And because he accepted, he received this instruction as his life and soul, he was empowered to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the Western world. So in this mood, we beg Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, with the permission of our Guru Vargas and Srila Prabhupada, we beg so that we may also be used, all of us may continue to improve our sadhana, so that we may be able to be able instruments in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and may we all be engaged eternally in spreading the glories of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, and the previous acharyas. So with this, we will end our lecture today. If there are any questions or comments, we can take now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very so much for Nectarian session, Prabhuji. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam. Wonderful, glorifying, wonderful pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and wonderful realizations, Prabhuji. Wonderful analysis. Thank you very, very so much, Prabhuji.
Thank
you. If anybody have any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. How nicely you narrating the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, past Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur pastime, Prabhuji. And that Jagannath chariot yatra, when Bimal Prasad takes the darshan of Shri Jagannath lotus feet, then only the chariot is start to run. And that Jagannath Das Baba in a one small tokri, and they find the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many pastime. And one thing is touched to heart, that Srila Prabhupada said, it is my life and soul to follow the instruction of my Guru Maharaj. So it is our responsibility to give, be honest, chant our 16 rounds attentively, and whatever we learn from our senior, we have to try to preach them. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Dandvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. And one request with hug, that Prabhuji, can you please sing one Vaishnava Bhajana with all of us? Teach us.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be happy to sing if there is some time remaining. Then later, after the question and answer session, if the organizers are okay, then we can sing a little bit. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for class. I was wondering if you could help me figure out how to devote all my attention to just hearing the mantra while at the same time seem like I have to kind of bifurcate my attention to trying to focus on feeling, you know, seem like if I'm trying to figure out how to do both at the same time. basically.
Okay. Well, if you analyze when we speak, we are doing both at the same time. We are speaking. Whenever we are speaking in a conversation to anyone, we are speaking and we are feeling what we are speaking at the same time. If we are saying, if we are inviting someone to our home, we are saying the words, please come and visit our home. But we are having a feeling of, if we are, say, inviting a sannyasi to our home or a great personality to our home, we automatically are in the mood of gratitude. Please come, and if you come, I'll be, there are some unsaid words because of the emotions that we are feeling. Sometimes we may call someone, please come home, also in contempt. So we are always, whatever we are speaking, even when we are asking a question, there was a feeling inside. There is a feeling of gratefulness. There is a feeling of, hope that my question will be answered. There is a feeling. There are so many different feelings that are going on while we speak. In fact, if there are no feelings while we speak, it's nothing other than a tape recorder. A tape recorder can also, make some noise and some words. But the difference between a human being and a tape recorder is when a human being says the same things, there is some emotions or feelings associated with it. Of course, there is less emotions in some, there are more in others, and degree may be different depending on their consciousness. But the feeling is always there. But somehow when we chant and are having a conversation with Krishna, we think that we should keep our feelings and emotions aside and just repeat like a tape recorder or a parrot. No, it is a conversation that we are having with Krishna. When we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we dial the phone call to Krishna, and Krishna is listening on the other end. In fact, he is listening right on our lips, on our tongue. He's dancing on our tongue. And there is a conversation we are having. So we need to come into this mood. What is this conversation that we are having with Krishna? When we are praying, when you come in front of the deity and we pray to Krishna and we glorify him, then we are feeling something while we are glorifying him. The same feeling should be there when we are chanting, Hare, O Radhe, I do not deserve your mercy, but I beg for your mercy. Please grant me the service attitude that pleases you. This should be a feeling. It's not like we should keep these as thoughts. Otherwise, we'll be thinking about these. That's the difference. If we are feeling, then we can do both simultaneously. But if we are thinking through our mind these things, then it's difficult to chant as well as think. But to chant and feel is natural. To chant and think with our mind is difficult. So when we chant, we have to actually, before we chant, we have to prepare our mind and our consciousness. Okay, now I'm about to chant. We have to actually prepare it before we start even one mantra. We say, now I'm suspending my life. My life, there's a pause button to my life. Whatever is good, bad, ugly is happening in my life, I'm keeping it aside. And now I'm entering into a cave of my consciousness, into a bhajan kutir, where no thoughts are allowed. No mind is not allowed. Nothing is allowed. Only me and our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and the Acharyas, and the holy name. That's all. Me and the holy name. And in this cave, I'm only begging to please accept me in different ways, and just focusing on, while I'm begging like this, I'm begging to who? Begging to the sound vibration, because there is no difference between Krishna and a sound vibration. I'm begging to this sound vibration, so I need to hear this sound vibration and then have the emotion of begging to it. out of gratefulness, out of thankfulness, as well as emotions. We have to cultivate these emotions. That's why what we are doing when we are not chanting affects when we chant. If we are chanting, if we are in the mood of enjoyment, and if we are just going around and thinking I'm the enjoyer, and just the thoughts that are coming or emotions that are coming in our mind, if there are arrogant emotions, we are not working on transforming them into humble thoughts. If we are not, any little bad thought comes to our mind, if we are not struggling and replacing it with good thoughts deliberately, and not going through these kind of exercises when we are not chanting, then if we are going through these exercises when we are not chanting, then while we are chanting, it will be very easy to get into this state of gratefulness and feeling these emotions of guilt in one sense, in a positive way, that I left Krishna. We should not feel guilty for anything else other than the fact that I left Krishna. And now I need to go back. This regret must be there. I have done a big mistake. I realize that, Krishna, now, by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. Please, I don't know how I can even ask you to accept me, but I don't have any other choice. I'm yours. I'm yours. You are mine. Please accept me. Please, Krishna. And we cry. That's what when acharyas say we should cry when we chant. This is what we cry for. Realizing our mistake. And unless we accept that, unless we are in that mood, we will, we may be continuing to chant for lifetimes, but it won't have any effect. So we first condition ourselves throughout our rest of the time to be, or at least, if not, then as a practice, before we chant, we need to, sometimes some devotees read some books about chanting, about how to come into this mood for 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and then they get into this mood and then try to maintain this mood of helpless dependence on Krishna while chanting. Krishna, nothing else can, I'm completely dependent on you. My money, my physical beauty or any of the other things, my family members, nothing can save me. Nothing can grant me the service attitude. Nothing can grant me service to you. Nothing can, at the time of death, nothing will help me except you. Nothing can give me the spiritual strength except you. O Rama, O Balaram. When we are in this mood, then we are chanting with that emotion, not with those thoughts. Because you're right, the thoughts will distract us. But the emotion will carry the holy name to the sound vibration. Just think about what we just discussed. It may be too much to take right now, I'm not sure. But if you just meditate on what we just discussed, it'll start making sense. That don't chant with your mind, chant with your heart. Get out of your mind and into your heart.
Yeah, a beautiful answer, Prabhu. It was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam. Prabhuji, like you said, praying. Even for our children, we can have emotion for acting. I mean, I'm not talking about the in action, the emotion in action, the love in action. But like, I love my son. Only for a few minutes, the same way while chanting, Prabhu, we can just hold that emotion. Oh, Krishna, I want to come back. How conditioned I am. And whatever it is. It is just for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And after that, I'm talking about myself. I have to, go for searching. Like, what prayer can I make? And while searching for those thoughts, again, mind and intelligence come into picture. And again, what happens, like, while I was looking for, okay, what next prayer can I say to impress Krishna, my mind is working and I forget listening to what I was chanting, and I'm busy searching for words which can please Krishna and get me more into the mood of chanting. So it's like, it never ends, Prabhu. Like,
praying, just like the heartfelt emotion, just stays for 2 minutes or maybe less than that. So we get back to the mind and intelligence, and then again fall into the trap. So am I too complicated, Prabhu? I'm sorry.
No, no. Thank you for the question. It does make sense. You mentioned that you, while chanting, you are praying with words, and you're searching for words to pray while chanting. What is recommended is not to think of the words, not to come up with words while you're chanting. While we are chanting, we need to hear the Hare Krishna mantra, not any other thoughts. But we need to feel the emotions. Now, to feel the emotion, that is a preparation that you have to do before. Actually, that's why we said, why was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur able to chant 192 rounds every day for 9 years? Why did he have the taste? Because he had the emotional connect with Krishna, emotional love of God with Krishna, emotional love at that level. We may not have the love at that level yet, but whatever little love we have, whatever little genuine feeling of gratefulness that we have, regret that we have, we should put that while chanting. But this is feeling, not thoughts, not words. If while chanting you are thinking of words, searching for words to pray, that's a distraction. Before chanting, you think of words of prayers that will help you come into this mood or this emotion, that will bring out these emotions in you. Then with those emotions, try to carry on with chanting. Just like when, and we can be absorbed in chanting only when we are chanting with these emotions. If we are chanting with thoughts, searching for words, it'll just become a battle of the mind and we'll get more and more tired. We have to chant with our heart, with our emotions, just like when we are watching a movie. We are looking at things that are happening and there are emotions that are coming out in our mind, in our heart. Maybe some sad emotion, sometimes a funny emotion, sometimes so many different emotions, and we are so engrossed in this different kinds of emotions that we forget our worries and we forget the rest of the world, rest of the things that are happening, and we are just in that movie theater. Because emotions have the power to absorb ourselves in something. If we can do that while watching a movie, why can't we do that while chanting? But to do that while chanting, it is important to prepare our consciousness through the rest of the day and the night when we are not chanting. At that time, we use that time to build those emotions and think every situation that we go through, every situation that comes up, we immediately think of dependence on Krishna. Every service we do at the temple or at home to our deities, we first try to condition our consciousness. Why am I doing this service? Is it because people will say, oh, you are so nice, you are so humble, am I doing this to show others? Or am I really doing this to please Krishna? Am I doing this with an attitude that, Krishna, I really don't deserve to perform your deity worship, but I'm not qualified, but my guru, on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, I'm doing it. So let me do it very carefully. When we go with develop those kind of emotions while we are performing services, while we are performing other kinds of devotional services, then automatically that mood will come while we are chanting. Sometimes we feel just while we are chanting, we should have these emotions. Other times, now switch off. Now I can get into my enjoyment mode. No, there is no switch off. Every activity that we do, if we try to cultivate these emotions, and at that time we use these words and prayers to build those emotions, then it will become very natural to chant with those emotions when we are actually chanting. So that's why the 10 offenses are important, avoiding the 10 offenses. Because 10 offenses talk about things that you do when you are not chanting. When we are not chanting to not offend the Vaishnavas, not consider chanting of Hare Krishna as a ritualistic activity, to not maintain material attachments. All these different things that are there, they are to regulate us, to regulate our thoughts and our emotions when we are not chanting. So that when we chant, we can offer those emotions to Krishna. So it's difficult if whole day we are doing something else, and suddenly time for chanting, now we are saying, okay, now I should get the grateful emotion and the dependence on Krishna emotion. That is difficult. Then we get into the thoughts. We can work with our words and thoughts when we are not chanting, but build those emotions. And then when we are chanting, just have those emotions. Do some preparation just before. Build those emotions and try to carry it. It will not always be successful. I'm not saying that you will still be able to carry it for all the rounds. But even if you are able to carry it for one name, one time you are able to chant Krishna with those emotions of gratefulness, that will attract Krishna's mercy, and He will absorb us more. He will give us more and more such experiences which will help us absorb ourselves in chanting the holy names in the proper consciousness. So let's chant with our heart, not with our lips or our mind. Keep our mind separate. Keep our thoughts away. Because when we are chanting, the mind creates this illusions and the genius ideas about your work and about your home will come when you are chanting. This is a trick of Maya to distract us. But if we are absorbed in the emotion, just like we are absorbed while watching a movie. In a movie, it's not always words that are going on. Sometimes no words are spoken and we feel those emotions in the scene. And we get absorbed in that. Similarly, in order to absorb in the holy name, we have to work on developing the emotions. I don't know, does that make sense?
Yes, completely. But at the same time, Prabhu, when we are so deep into love or emotion or prayerful mood, do we not skip to listen to our Maha Mantra?
So when you are asking this question, are you listening to your words?
Yes, Prabhu. But I'm not sure
yes,
I'm
you're so listening.
Deep into my emotions.
Yes, you are listening to your words, and you are also having an emotion of inquiry. You are like desperate to know the answer. That's an emotion. And you are asking the question. You are hearing your words as well as having an emotion. Right now. In the same way, when you are chanting, you carry the emotions. And you will hear your words that you are chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra while emotion also. Not thoughts, emotions. We have to distinguish between thoughts and emotions, and prayer is an emotion. Prayer is a feeling. When I say emotion, I mean feeling. Feeling is different than thought. Just like you are having a feeling right now of maybe hope that your question may be answered, of desperateness. Just like Arjuna had the feeling of desperation that my Gandiva is slipping from my hands. This was not a thought. He was feeling, his heart was sinking. It was a feeling with his mouth was drying and he was asking Krishna. He was having that desperate emotion, desperate feeling, but he was still hearing Bhagavad Gita each and every word. He was hearing with a feeling, simultaneously. Anything that we do, these two things are always there. When you're talking to your child, if you're trying to correct your child, you are having sometimes the feeling of anger, I mean for his benefit, You're having a feeling of anger, and you know exactly what words you are speaking. You hear your words also, and you have the feeling also of anger. Or sometimes you have feeling of love, and you're hearing your words also. So hearing and feeling go hand in hand, always. But while japa we feel, how can we do hearing and feeling together? This is something to think about. It's a natural human function to hear and feel together simultaneously.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for those beautiful encouragement that I will also one day may chant sincerely for Krishna. Mercy. Thank you, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class and a very nice question answer session. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So are there any
Hare
other
Krishna
questions?
Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Kija, Guru Maharaj Kija. Very nice, very wonderful explanation and narration, Prabhu. Thank you so much. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj means he was very good astrologer and he was very good in number ka jo wo hota hai usme bhi na, but he left, he quit everything and he just took the bhakti as a main thing na. So Prabhu means, but still matlab we look with that is in front of us, but still in ISKCON being a matlab follower of his, we still believe in and we still go and look and search and we about astrology or jyotishi, number milana, wo karna, ye sab karna, instead of having faith in bhakti. So, what do you say, Prabhu, about it? Now, just guide us.
Well, there are different thoughts. Astrology is definitely a Vedic science. And it is, you know, Srila Prabhupada also said that, you know, when he was born, an astrologer told that he will be a big religious leader and all these things. So astrology is a science, but does the astrologer know the astrology? That is important to know. Which means the position of the planets and things like that, they do affect our lives. But if we are surrendering to Krishna, which means if we are performing devotional service, we are chanting our 16 rounds, surrendering to Prabhupada, following principles, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, then we should be assured that Krishna is taking care of us. Now, depending on how much we are surrendering, if we are 10% surrendered, then Krishna is taking 10% care of our life directly. 90% is by karma. If we are 50% surrendered, then 50% Krishna takes care, 50% karma. Those who are 100% surrendered, then Krishna takes care of it 100%. Karma does not affect. So it depends on our level of surrender. So if we are not fully surrendered, then say we are 10% surrendered. So Krishna is taking care of 10%, 90% is by karma, but Krishna affects the 90% in such a way, so the things that are supposed to come to us will come, but Krishna can increase or decrease the intensity of that karma depending on what is best for our spiritual life, so that we can surrender instead of 10%, maybe 11%, maybe 15%. Krishna is always seeing how can, since he is chanting Hare Krishna mantra, he has invited me into his life just by doing that. He is giving me the permission to change his life. So Krishna will now change the karma in our life in such a way that which will help us to surrender to him more and more. Materially, so he may sometimes he may give a lot of fame and money and all of these to some people, some devotee, whom he feels if that is done, then he will surrender more. And he may give infamy and he may give, take away everything from another devotee if he feels that devotee can take it and that it will help him surrender to Krishna more. Krishna is always seeing, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are asking me to come to your life to surrender. Let me see how you can surrender to me more and more. And for different people, he employs different ways and different extents, to the extent we allow him to change our life. So astrology will affect us, but as devotees, we should know that there is always a chance that things may change. Things may not happen exactly how astrology is saying. And because the only thing that can change karma is our surrender to Krishna, is devotional service. Any bhakti we are doing, it's changing our karma. So maybe we'll be put in those situations, but how we react is depending on ourselves. So some devotees do look at astrology. It tells us how our past lives are affecting our current life and what can happen so that we can, become a little aware. But if someone is a pure devotee, he doesn't need to look into that. Everything that happens to him or her is Krishna's, up to Krishna. But for others, it is dependent on how much we are surrendering to Krishna. But if we are chanting 16 rounds, follow our regular principles, we should be certain that whatever happens, good, bad, it is for our best interest of spiritual life. We may not understand it now, but that is what it is for. Krishna is taking care of us if we are surrendering to Prabhupada, following Prabhupada's instructions. And if this is what Krishna is sending, then this is what I need to make spiritual advancement. So rather than complaining about it and things like that, externally we may say so many things, but internally we should always be grateful and thankful that, you gave me this opportunity and let me see how I can surrender to you in this way. Externally, like if someone's house is on fire, externally he will have to do things to put out the fire. But the difference between a devotee and a materialist is that the materialist, his mind will get really disturbed internally. But for a devotee, he'll do the same things to mitigate the fire what the materialist is doing, but internally he is in a grateful place of heart. He's saying, he's not complaining, why Krishna, why did you do this to me, what is this, what is that. He is grateful and thankful, Krishna, that there must be something good that is happening because I'm surrendering to you. So definitely there is something good spiritually in this thing. I'm not able to understand, please help me understand that. That's all. But externally, whatever they have to do to defend themselves, we will do. But internally, we have to make sure our consciousness is to be grateful. And not lose faith in Krishna, and not start thinking suddenly that Krishna is cruel and Krishna is out to get me, or Krishna is not taking care of me. He's taking care of us in the way that he feels is best. He may not take care of us in the way we feel what is best. There may be difference there, but he's definitely taking care. Sorry, maybe I diverted, but a short answer to your question, Mataji, is astrology, if we are not fully surrendered, we can look at astrology, but as we increase our level of surrender, astrology becomes less and less prominent. But it makes us understand what is slated to come and makes us cautious and aware. Otherwise, whether we follow astrology or not, ultimately we have to depend on Krishna. That's our goal. Whatever astrology says, we hear it, we say it's good, interesting, but ultimately we depend on Krishna. That whatever he will give will be for our best. That is more important than depending on astrology, depending on planets. Krishna can kick the Rahu and Ketus and everyone if we depend on him. He wants to know, are you depending on me? If you're not depending on me, then he backs off. So we have to, like, consciously pray all the time, Krishna, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you and I'm taking your shelter. So whatever you do will be for my best. We don't dictate to Krishna. Krishna, I'm depending on you. Huh? Now you do what I want you to do. Not in that way. I'm depending on you so that whatever you do, I know will be for my best. And I am yours, you are mine. Please help me to go through this situation in a way that I can remain faithful.
Yes, Prabhu, that makes sense. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very so much. I apologize for interruption. Thank you very so much for such a blissful and enlightening class today, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam to you and to your lotus feet. Thank you so much, Prabhu. We are very grateful to you and we look forward for your association again in future. If you have just like a couple of minutes, as per our humble request from the devotees, if time permits to you, could you please sing a small Vaishnava song, Prabhuji?
Oh, Vaishnava song? Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Any specific song? About maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song? Oh, we can sing on Gopinath. There are eight stanzas, but we can just sing two stanzas. Gopinath, 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 Mama Nivedana Sumana Vishayi Gurjana Sada Kama Jata Vishayi Gurjana Sada Kama Jata Kishuna Himura Gopina 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 Gopinath, Gopinath, Amar Charane, Loinu Charan, Tomara Charane, Loinu Charana, Tomara Tinkara, Gopinath, Gopinath. Gopina, 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 Gopina,
Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, koti koti
jai.
Shri Radha Prabhupada Guru Jai ki jai. No words to your seva, Prabhu.
Jai Hari. Thank you so much once
thank
again.
You, thank you.
वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः ग्रंथा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय हिज ग्रेस डिवाइन अद्वैत चंद्र प्रभु जी की जय
श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय
हरे कृष्णा